The border crisis is getting worse, and so is big tech censorship. Hi, this is Sarah Carter. On The Sarah Carter Show, I dig deep into these huge challenges that directly threaten our national security and our freedom of speech. Please join me. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to The Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what we're going to get into today is sounding the alarm over Joe Biden. Now, you've been listening to this podcast. You know that President Joe Biden's reelection prospects have been somewhat doubtful for quite a while. Many voters think Biden, who is the nation's oldest president ever, he turns 80 this November, many voters think he's too old for the job and is certainly too old for a second term in the job. Many others think he's just doing a bad job. They don't think his performance in office is very good. Many think both. And that includes Democrats who voted for Biden, as well as Republicans who did not vote for Biden. But the reason I'm talking about this today, the reason I'm taking a break from my obsession with the January 6th committee, the reason I'm talking about this today is that we may have reached some sort of turning point. In recent days, we have seen two pieces from the most influential media voice among Democrats. That would be the New York Times. They published two articles that appear to lay the foundation for pushing Biden, no matter how reluctant he might be, for pushing Biden out of a reelection race in 2024. Obviously, the New York Times does not push the president out of the reelection race, but if enough Democrats become upset about this, then it could happen. So the first article I want to talk about, published July 9th, Saturday, and it had the headline, "At 79, Biden is testing the boundaries of age and the presidency." At 79, Biden is testing the boundaries of age and the presidency. Now, do not be fooled by the gentleness of the headline. The article clearly suggested that Biden is too old to be president. So testing the boundaries of age is kind of a diplomatic way of saying too old. The article reported that Biden's trip to the Middle East this week, it was originally going to be part of his European trip last month, until his aides realized that if you put those two destinations together in one trip, quote, it would have made for an arduous 10-day overseas trek, and that, quote, such extended travel might be unnecessarily taxing for a 79-year-old president. One official told the New York Times that the idea of taking Biden on this 10-day trek across the continents would be, quote, crazy. So, obviously, the president's age affected the planning of this trip. Of course, there's no reason it had to be just one trip. No reason it can't be two trips. It is going to be two trips. But his age was a factor in the planning of this. The article certainly does not stop there. It has Biden's aides acknowledging that he, quote, looks older than just a few years ago, which it called a political liability that cannot be solved by traditional White House stratagems like staff shakeups or new communications plans. Of course, that is what they always do. They want to get a new and improved communication, need to get a new spokesperson, something like that. Anything to comfort themselves with the idea that it's messaging as opposed to substance that is a real problem. The article goes on. The Times says that Biden's energy level is impressive for a man of his age, but it nevertheless says Biden's energy level is not what it was, and some aides quietly watch out for him. Quote, Biden often shuffles when he walks. Aides worry he will trip on a wire. He stumbles over words during public events, and they hold their breath to see if he makes it to the end without a gaffe. Now, the paper says these public appearances have fueled the perception that Biden is too old to be president. Quote, his speeches can be flat and listless. He sometimes loses his train of thought, has trouble summoning names, or appears momentarily confused. The paper also said that during the European trip, the one we just mentioned, Biden's fellow leaders, quote, protectively treated him like a distinguished elderly relative. Okay, so is it becoming clearer? In all, the New York Times says Biden's age has become a, quote, uncomfortable issue for Democrats. quote, if he mounts another campaign in 2024, Mr. Biden would be asking the country to elect a leader who would be 86 at the end of his tenure. That's the New York Times writing. Testing the outer boundaries of age and the presidency. Well, there's that outer boundaries of age again, a simpler way of saying that the president is too old. So what's extraordinary about this is not that it's telling you anything you didn't already know. It's that the New York Times is saying it in a pretty blunt way, trying to be a little diplomatic, you know, with the headline, but being pretty darn blunt about this. Now, what's interesting is this story is kind of in a combination with another story that has just been published in the New York Times, which is a devastating poll. The paper conducted with Siena College, New York Times Siena College poll. And it's mostly about Joe Biden. And this survey found that 64% of Democratic voters want a different nominee in 2024. Just 26% want the party to renominate the president. On top of that, the poll shows that Biden's job approval rating among all Americans is 33%. Remember when we were talking about how Biden's job approval rating had fallen into the low 40s range, but it seemed to have stabilized, in the low 40s. And then we were talking about, wow, it actually seems to have dipped below 40 just a little bit. It seems maybe it's stabilized in the high 30s. Here it is, 33%. Lower than some other polls have gotten lately, but not that much lower, and in the low 30s. On top of that, just 13% of those surveyed believe the country is on the right track. Quote, with the country gripped by a pervasive sense of pessimism, the president is hemorrhaging support. Now, think back to the article we were just talking about. What is it about Biden that particularly worries his party's voters? Age, okay? Reading again from the Times, concerns about his age ranked at the top of the list for Democratic voters who want the party to find an alternative. So, the Times interviews a woman named Nicole Ferrier. She's a 38-year-old preschool teacher in a small town in northern Michigan. Quote, I'm just going to come out and say it. I want younger blood. This is Nicole Ferrier, a 38-year-old preschool teacher in Michigan. I am so tired of all old people running our country. I don't want someone knocking on death's door. Okay. Now, Ferrier said that she voted for Biden in 2020. Well, why'd she vote for Biden in 2020? She hoped that he might heal the nation's divisions. But now, this is the New York Times talking, quote, she is preoccupied with what she described as crippling increases in her cost of living. Well, how about that? She votes for Biden to heal the nation's divisions. But now she can't afford gas. She can't afford groceries. These are serious, everyday, real-life problems. And she's not happy with the job the president is doing. So the first concern among people in this poll, Democrats who want a new nominee, a different nominee, the first concern is Biden's age. The second concern is his job performance. Now, the Times quotes a man named Kelly King, a woman named Kelly King, who's a former factory worker in Greensburg, Indiana, quote, he hasn't done what I think he's capable of doing as president to help the American people. As a Democrat, I figured he would really be on our side and put us back on the right track. And I just feel like he has not. Okay, so you put these two stories together, the Biden is too old story, he's testing the boundaries of age, testing the boundaries of age story, and the poll, and you really see Americans concerned, Democrats and all Americans, concerned about the president's age. Now, the poll did offer what it called one glimmer of hope for Democrats, and we're going to talk about that next.
If we've learned anything from the 2020 election, it's that while the process of counting electoral votes is straightforward, the rules outlined in the Electoral Count Act of 1887 are vague and antiquated. There shouldn't have been any question about whether the vice president could or should have changed the election results. Imagine the next election full of questions about voter regularities, debates, and recounts of key state votes, except this time it's Vice President Harris being urged to interpret her role in the process as one where she has the right to determine which electoral votes count. Why? Because the Electoral Count Act is too ambiguous. This is why the Presidential Election Project aims to clearly define the role of the vice president and ensure that the role is beyond question. The project urges you to sign up for more information about why reform of the Electoral Count Act is so important. Go to presidentialelectionproject.com to take the first step in learning more. That's presidentialelectionproject.com. Presidentialelectionproject.com.
Former Trump White House official Brooke Rollins explains how she and other conservatives are preparing to help the next Republican president advance their agenda and successfully fight the bureaucracy. I'm Bill Walton. On the latest edition of The Bill Walton Show, Rollins also explains how President Trump was able to accomplish so much despite the government working against him, and how getting the right congressional staffers is vital. Follow The Bill Walton Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, I said I was going to talk about a glimmer of hope for Democrats in the new New York Times poll. First, I did want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, if you have been enjoying it and maybe even learning from the podcast, it'd be really great, if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it at iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts, and we would really, really appreciate it. Okay, the glimmer of hope. What is the hope? Even in his weakened condition, and it's pretty weak, Joe Biden could still narrowly defeat Donald Trump, 44% to 41% in a hypothetical 2024 head-to-head matchup. Now, this is in the New York Times Siena College poll. And so they ask, you know, if the election today were today or between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who would you vote for? Biden wins pretty narrowly, 44 to 41 in this hypothetical matchup. But they talked to Democrats who were never, ever going to vote for Trump. And if it came down to a Joe Biden who could, you know, barely get out of a chair, and Donald Trump, they would vote for Biden. There's just no doubt about that. But they still would prefer another nominee just because they would choose Biden in a head-to-head matchup over Trump does not mean they would not prefer another nominee. And 64% of Democrats in the poll would prefer a nominee. Just 26% said that they would like to see Biden renominated to serve until he is age 86 in the presidency. So what does all this mean? Well, it means Joe Biden's in trouble, no doubt about that, but that's been clear for a while. I mean, we've known voters have been concerned about the president's age. Now, speaking for myself, I have written a lot about this, just looked up an article a few minutes ago that I wrote in April of 2019. Face it, Joe Biden and also Bernie Sanders, who was in the Democratic race at the time, Biden and Sanders are too old to be president. Joe Biden was born on November 20th, 1942. That fact has long been known. You do the math, he's going to be 80 years old at the end of 2022 when he's in his second year of his presidency. It was easy to know. It was always right in front of us. So what does all this mean? It means Biden's in trouble. But it also means that we've known this. People have been concerned about his age. They have been concerned about his ability to handle the world's most demanding job, both because of his age and the fact that maybe they just don't think he was ever up for the job. A younger Joe Biden, a young Biden who's 65 years old, would not be up to the job. A Biden who's 50 years old, 45, whatever, wouldn't be up for the job. And they have wished there were some better alternative, and they wish that today. Now, what is perhaps more newsworthy in this is that the media institution most respected among Democrats, especially Democratic opinion leaders, has so frankly put the spotlight on Biden's problems. I mean, from a Democratic perspective, It's one thing for Republicans to complain about Biden. It's one thing for this podcast to say, it's obvious he's too old to be president. It's one thing for Republicans to complain about Biden. It is another thing when the New York Times does it. And now everybody, except perhaps the most dogged Biden loyalists, is alarmed about the state of Joe Biden. The New York Times has opened the door, made it officially acceptable to openly express concern about the president's age and to openly express a desire for a different Democratic nominee in 2024. Now, that opens up huge, huge amount of controversy, like, well, does the sitting vice president become the Democratic nominee for president? You would think that she is the president's natural successor here. What about that? Well, that will be a big fight. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about today. It's like the New York Times with these two stories has essentially laid the foundation for Democrats who want to get rid of Joe Biden, for pushing him, no matter how reluctant he is to be pushed, pushing him off the ticket in 2024. We'll see what his response is to that. But clearly the question of Biden's age, his ability to do the job, and whether he should be on the ticket in 2024 is a very, very open subject. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Thanks for listening. Always appreciate it. And hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Anti-human trafficking warrior Rosie Orozco joins me to explain how open borders are leading to a huge increase in human trafficking into our country and the horrific sexual exploitation of women, girls, and boys. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Rosie will explain how the trafficking process works and how big of a business it is for the cartels. It's a tough story that we all need to know. Follow the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.